$10 was.
Wearing action is action by the people, and it's often arrestable because we're actually actively disobeying, actually getting in the way of something. It's not just protest, it's not just campaigning or petitioning, it's actually getting in the way of business as usual.
There is a fast spread of people the entire way around the perimeter of the base. So if you want to give yourself a cheer for that, I'm going to go and close the gate to the base with some nuclear tape, and the base will be closed for about 5.
Get out there and find out what's going on in your area, find out for indie media. You know, come along, and it's much better sitting at home getting pissed off watching the telly. Yeah.
Welcome to Rise Up Radio.
Ahoy there, landlubbers! You've tuned in to another baddie-chasing, wind-generating, solar-cooking edition of your Rise Up Radio. This month, we're up to no good at the offices of the power company E.ON. We learn more about the current situation in Zimbabwe and talk to Aaron from Nottingham Transition City about getting ourselves prepared for when the oil runs out. Oh, and not forgetting the coolest local music and poetry. So stay tuned for more.
Me up, she hold me close. and tell me she just wanna be my friend. She pinned me down, yeah, and takes away my heart again. So don't lose me now. I'm begging of you, please, honey, don't drag this down. 'Cause I can hardly breathe, honey.
One that was Trickster with Don't Waste Your Time. Trickster, a local band. We'll be playing some more music from them to finish the show later on. And yeah, welcome to the May edition of Rise Up Radio. I'm here with Jack and Genevieve.
Hi guys.
Hi John. Hi Nottingham.
Hi everyone. Yeah, first up we've got a report from some activists who went to the offices of the power company E.ON to blockade it on the 1st of April. So to find out what that's all about, here we've got a report.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine, thanks.
You've got, you're like attached to a door.
I am. It's reasonably comfortable, actually. I'm quite calm.
What, can you just tell me what just happened here, just as you got here?
Well, I couldn't see behind me. I can actually see, but someone was trying to push the door open as we were being de-locked on, and as we were trying to lock the door with the chain, and we just had to say, look, there's people, like, they can't move, basically, but he didn't seem to care, but he went away eventually, so...
Yeah, looking a bit frustrated, eh?
I wish I could see, but I can't, so...
I don't think you're too happy. You're alright as well. De-locked, though.
Hey, up.
Are you comfortable?
Yes, I am. Yeah. It's only been 5 minutes, though, so... See what happens.
Could you tell me what's just happening in front of us?
Well, there are two people. They're in white suits, and they seem to be daubing themselves with rather neon-coloured green paint.
It's a greenwash. It's greenwash.
Ah.
I'm covered in green for greenwash because E.ON are the biggest climate criminals in the area and they're full of greenwash.
Tell me what E.ON are up to.
E.ON own our local coal-fired power station, which emits the second largest CO2 emissions in the UK, in England rather. And they are also wanting to build a new coal-fired power station at Kings North in Kent, using some new technology which is unproven, unreliable and uses 40% more energy than the usual technology.
It sounds bad.
Well, it is, and they've got to stop.
And today's a day of action around the country.
It's Fossil Fuels Day. It's an international day of action called by Rising Tide. And there's stuff happening all over the world about fossil fuel industry. And now we have to keep fossil fuels in the ground if we want to stop climate change.
How long are you planning on staying here today?
As long as possible.
Right, so you work at E.ON, you can't get in today.
That's true, we can't.
How do you feel about that?
Well, it's a day off work.
Commas gutted.
That's always good enough. What are you guys doing there?
Credit control for business.
Collect money off businesses, ring businesses up, go, why haven't you paid your electricity bill? You've only spent £13,000 this month on gas and electricity.
Yes, some of them do, man. IBM,
give us the money.
I was IBM the other day, they were messing about. But that's the job, essentially, and drinking quite a lot of tea.
That's always good.
That's the main part of the job, really.
There's a lot of people working.
Yes, quite a lot.
Yeah, there's hundreds.
Hundreds.
Yeah, hundreds.
Do you understand why these people are blockading today?
Yes, I can understand that. It's obviously to do with the energy efficiency thing and the fact that E.ON are still one of the largest polluters, despite attempted charitable movements.
So you see it as that? Charitable movements.
Attempted charitable movements, yeah. I mean, it's not actually going to make up for the damage that's being done at the moment. Essentially, the fact is, yeah, they are one of the worst, along with, I mean, British Gas, Empower, it's all the same fucking deal. They all need to change their attitude and simply giving money to good charitable causes isn't actually changing your attitude, is it really?
Because there was just a guy here who works inside who was really passionate about, you know, E.ON being all, you know, investing in renewables and all that.
Well, there is an attempt to do that, but unfortunately any company this size can't actually do that without committing a huge amount to it. And if they do it on a level that's actually going to make a difference, they risk losing out to the other companies. So unless they all actually start taking a more mature attitude, it's going to continue being this tiny little bit of 5 and 10%. I mean, at the moment, I think it's 10% towards trying to sort out the mesh.
Right. Hi. Good morning.
Hi. Morning.
Lovely day today.
Yeah, well, it's mixed weather as normal these days. Sunny and rainy.
Sunny and rainy and sunny and rainy. And
sunny and rainy.
Yeah. Can you tell me where we are and what's going on?
Okay, we're outside E.ON's offices on Mount Street, Nottingham City Centre. What's going on is a group of about 30 people have blockaded the building. They've locked onto the main entrance and they've covered themselves in green paint and stopped all the side entrances. So none of the workers get in and out this morning.
Why?
Okay, E.ON are... the largest energy provider in the UK. Today is International Fossil Fuels Day. People are taking action all around the world on targets related to fossil fuels. E.ON are currently in the process of building a new generation, or applying to build a new generation of coal-fired power stations. Specifically, they're building the first one in the UK for 50 years at King's North in Kent, which is the target of... the World Development Movement campaign, Greenpeace, and also where the climate camp is going to be this year. They've also got plans to build a new coal-fired power station at High Marnham in Nottinghamshire, near Retford. And so we're here today to say that this isn't going to happen. Burning fossil fuels in the 20th century is a ridiculous concept, and the only way to stop runaway climate change is to keep fossil fuels in the ground.
So you would say it was a success today?
I think it was a good thing to do. It made sure that everyone who works in that building understood some of the facts about coal and the new power station that E.ON are behind, when they might not have been aware of that, and the issues to do with climate change. And it obviously caused quite a lot of disruption to that particular office, and you know, will have cost them working hours and money as well. And it does mean that they can't, you know, sort of hide from the high profile of the climate issues that E.ON are involved with. So yeah, it was a success. It got lots of people involved as well who maybe haven't been doing stuff on this issue before, and it was quite a sort of friendly and fun thing to do, as well as being about a serious issue. At the moment, there's a really big movement growing in the UK about climate change, and a lot of other countries around the world are sort of watching what's happening in the UK and are quite excited by the amount of activism that's going on here about it. The more people that get involved, the more empowering that is for everyone.
So that was the report from the blockade at the E.ON offices in town, which happened on the 1st of April. While the blockade happened, I met up with some other people who were gathering on the market square and talked with them about climate change.
That's right, it's kind of trying to recycle things.
Why are you wearing wellies? We're in the middle of town.
What? I'm wearing wellies to, I guess, symbolise the coming climate catastrophe, when we may well have to be wading through knee-deep water here in the centre of Nottingham.
Ah. That's centuries away, you know. We're safe.
The science disagrees with that. The science says it could be a lot closer than that. Within this century, certainly.
Oh. You're worrying me now.
Well, we should be worried, because according to the IPCC, unless we drastically, and I mean radically, cut our greenhouse gas emissions in the very near future, then that is a very likely scenario.
So why is no one paying attention?
No one's paying attention because we haven't gone down to the square dressed in wellies yet. No one's paying attention because the government is not doing anything about it, and we can't afford to leave it to the government anymore. So we've got to take action ourselves.
I've just got word that an E.ON office has been blockaded just in the city and totally shut down.
That sounds brilliant, because E.ON are very central to the problem, especially in right here in the UK, as one of the largest burners of fossil fuels and the dirtiest kind of fossil fuels in the country.
So they're a good target?
They are a good target, because anyone who burns thousands of tons of coal every single day really needs to be targeted, because that's one of the fastest ways that we're getting into this problem.
I was talking to some of the workers outside who obviously couldn't get to work, and they were saying that, you know, if there isn't a viable alternative brought forward, then clean is kind of the option we should go with, because that's all we've got.
Okay, well, all of these arguments presuppose business as usual. That is, that we can carry on the way we have been living, the way we have been working, and that what is not being challenged is our level of energy consumption. Sure, there's no alternative that you can just plug in instead of coal. We can't just plug in solar panels instead of coal. We haven't got the capacity, and in any case, it's just not feasible. What we have to do is be more radical than that and say our power consumption just is not sustainable. We have to power down. We have to have what's known as an energy descent strategy, which is where we all have to accept that we cannot, much as we might like all the trappings of a modern industrial society and consumer society, we simply can't. And it's not a matter of wanting us to go back to the dark ages so much as saying, well, either we voluntarily start to make a sensible reduction in energy, or we're going to hit a brick wall, and that's going to be very painful, and we're going to have to suddenly deal with it.
I guess that's a hard pill to swallow for a lot of people.
It is. It's nobody really likes to think about that, but and myself included, but we really have to think about it, because if we don't, it's going to be all the more painful when it hits. And that's what keeps us, that's why the government is carrying on with business as usual, because it's such a bitter pill to swallow. Nobody wants to hear that.
No.
Tell me what's great about Britain.
More poverty and debt.
What's great about Britain?
Corrupt politicians we elect.
What's great about Britain?
To keep the cost of living.
What's great about Britain?
To keep us in prison.
What's great about Britain?
So they never bombed Iraq.
What's great about Britain?
And distorting the fact.
What's great about Britain?
People depressed and scared.
What's great about Britain?
Trying to control us by fear.
A society crumbles from corruption, political destruction, to make rich people rich is hard. This economy functions, more families are crippled by loans. Single parents working three jobs when they need it at home. To guide the youth instead of blaming them, looking at lifestyles and role models and how we're raising them, with policies designed to forget, living communities riddled with debt. Then they tell the terrorism's a threat. What do these politicians expect? Us to sit back and take it when the system's a mess. Think I'm worried about being bombed when I sit on a bus, worried about my council tax and my bills building up. This whole system's corrupt, capitalism's unjust. How much more can we take before it's people's erupt? And take it all back from these greedy tyrants, inflicting more struggle on us and expected to be silent.
Tell me what's great about Britain?
War, poverty and debt.
What's great about Britain?
Corrupt politicians we elect.
What's great about Britain?
Struggling to beat the cost of living.
What's great about Britain?
Being to keep us in prison.
What's great about Britain?
So they never bombed Iraq.
What's great about Britain?
And distorting the fact.
What's great about Britain?
Keep us depressed and scared.
What's great about Britain?
Trying to control us with fear.
Blame young people, single mothers and immigration problems they create, and giving tax breaks to corrupt corporations, cause the system's a mess. Reality suppressed, reading the right wing tabloid press, eating ready meals from Tesco Express. Fair E numbers, dangerous substances and facts, dealing with the cost of living and tax.
Yo, violence, murder and vandalism was here before films, computer games and television. Sacking these people in the media, blame it on us. Some so-called expert can sell us some book about how music inspires kids to violence. But no one blames war, poverty, debt at the environment, or how family members died in the war. We never wanted all these lies, cause it's world control for warmongers. Cause they want us to be depressed, man, they want us to be scared. They want us to be unhealthy, drained and in fear. That's how they control us, man, that's how they can do what they want to us. So tell me what's great about Britain, world poverty and debt. What's great about Britain, politicians we elect. What's great about Britain, to meet the cost of living. What's great about Britain, to keep us in prison. What's great about Britain, so they never bombed Iraq. What's great about Twitter, and distorting the facts. What's great about Britain, keep us depressed and scared. What's great about Britain, trying to control us with fear.
Right, that was Martin the Livewire, and What's Great About Britain. He'll be playing at a benefit gig this month. I think it's the 21st of May. And you're going to hear a bit more about that in a moment.
Yes, yeah, so now we're going to go to a short non-commercial break. Listen carefully and stay with us.
Listen up, people. Do you wish you had more skills? Well, stop wishing and get skilled up at the Sumac Skillshare. Get with the 11-week program. It runs every Saturday from the 3rd of May to the 12th of July. Come for free workshops where you can learn how to bake your own bread, woodworking skills, tool sharpening, hula hooping, and lots more! You think I got where I am today without the Skillshare program? Forget about it. For more detail, check out eastsideclimateaction.org.uk, Nottingham Indie Media. Call 07944-889-580. Or look out for flyers in libraries, cafes, or the Sumac Center. The Sumac Saturday Skillshare. Get skilled up!
Nottingham Animal Rights presents to you The Sea Shepherds Charity Benefit Gig in aid of the Sea Shepherd Conservation Society. Jahali Raja! On Wednesday, the 21st of May 2008, from 7 p.m. till midnight at Junction 7, featuring five of the hottest local bands, including Verbal Warning, The Rebel Soul Collective, Zynab, Martin the Livewire, and Manikai. Get your tickets now for only £5 in advance from local outlets at the Sumac Bar in Forest Fields, Veggies, Junction 7, or call David on 07951-304-652. That's 07951-304-652. This is a 14 plus gig. Tickets are £5 in advance or more on the door. Check out Nottingham Animal Rights at myspace.com/Nottingham Animal Rights. Nottingham Animal Rights, supporting direct action for the conservation of life in our great deep blue seas.
So could you tell me what the AT Co-op is about?
The AT Co-op is about bringing together the vast amount of equipment and experience and spaces that various campaigning groups and grassroots movements throughout Britain have. At the moment, we've got an awful lot of equipment and knowledge dispersed and not really networked or brought together. Through the AT Co-op, we plan to do that, identify gaps where we need to buy stuff, and then become quite self-sufficient, not just in skills, but certainly in putting on outdoor events such as climate camp, Earth First Gathering, animal rights gatherings. You know, we want to work within the grassroots movement. Initially, we're going to network people with equipment and people putting on events. However, once we have a better idea of what's needed and we've start raising a few funds, then we will look at actually buying material to fill in the gap so that we don't have to rely so much on commercial ventures which are bleeding us dry. For example, back of envelope calculations states in the last 4 years we've probably wasted, through hiring and wastage of not being able to look after material, in the region of £100,000. That's a lot of money that could be spent an awful lot better. Putting on large scale events is very draining, it's very tiring, especially some of the large scale events and projects that the movement have been putting on recently, such as Climate Camp. By adopting a much more professional attitude in terms of the materials we need, we'll lift an awful lot of that burden away from people, meaning that people can focus more on campaigning, focus the money more on outreach. It brings together an awful lot of knowledge, experience and need.
What are you asking from people at the moment, how they can help out with this?
At the moment, we want to know what they have and what they're willing to give. Not so much giving outright to us, although we'll accept that, but also what materials they would like to see being better used. You know, do you have a marquee in your backyard? Do you have a vehicle that's not being used very much? And you would like to see activist groups, campaigning groups, local groups being able to use that stuff. We're offering to be the middle people in that. You know, we will ensure that material is professionally looked after, maintained, and in return you know that it's going to a good use.
So where can people actually look? Is there a website? Where
we've got a website. It's www.atgroup.org.uk, or they can ring us directly on 0845 217 8997.
Right, that was our non-commercial break. And yeah, incidentally, if you're listening through the Global Indie Media Radio website or another website, you can go directly to our radio website to download shows and subscribe to our feed, which you can do by going to riseupradio.wordpress.com. And it's at the beginning of each month that we upload a new show. Right, so next up then, we've got an interview for you with a member of the opposition party in Zimbabwe, the MDC. This chap lives in the UK now. He's living in Nottingham. He's an asylum seeker. He's fled Zimbabwe and he's still politically active from his base here in Nottingham. He caught up with Angela from Notts Indie Media and spoke to her earlier this week about the situation there with the election results.
Hi, Regis. Welcome back.
Welcome, Angela.
Right. Over the last month, we've seen the elections happen in Zimbabwe. We've seen the results of those denied to the people, and we've seen Mugabe demand a rerun of the elections. Now, how exactly is that possible? How does Mugabe organise to withhold the election results and instruct a rerun?
Because Mugabe is corrupt, and his government is corrupt as well. Mugabe has got all the powers. He instructs and directs from his office. The judiciary system is under his belt. The police is under his belt as well. The army is under his belt as well. So this is a one-man band show in Zimbabwe. Every military organization reports to him directly. And also, he's unleashing terror to the innocent civilians of Zimbabwe. And ironically, most of these people who have suffered the brunt of this are MDC supporters.
And what is motivating Mugabe to cling to power?
It's basically greed and his past war crimes. Mugabe went on in 1983 to kill a lot of people from Matabeleland, and also the disappearances of certain high-ranking figures in the government and dissenting voices from the opposition were murdered, killed, they disappeared by night and by day. And we see this as well happening in Zimbabwe after the elections. Been a number of people who have been killed, assassinated, disappeared from their houses. And it's continuation of what he started in 1983.
So now those similar violent tactics are being employed by the ZANU-PF to suppress the Zimbabwean people?
Yes. I'm so much worried about the escalation of this violence because it seems to have engulfed the entire country. And I'm afraid if it is going to engulf even in the cities as well, then we might see him declaring a state of emergency, which he wants it to be. Then we don't want to play into the hands, because once we do that, he declares a state of emergency and then he will rule by decree.
So what do you think needs to happen to save Zimbabwe?
SADC and the international community should step in. I'm particularly worried about the quietness of SADC. They have been quiet of late, but with the pressure which is mounting and the international community which is piling more and more pressure by day, then we might begin to hear some voices within the SADC. Particularly happy about the stance that has been recently taken by the Zambian president, Mr. Mwanawasa. He has voiced his concern over what is happening in Zimbabwe, and he has also played a pivotal role in the ship. You remember about the ship which came from China. They could not offload the consignment, the arms of war in South Africa. I applaud the South Africans as well, even the Mozambicans and the Angolans as well, because they refused to offload the consignment which was coming from China heading towards Zimbabwe, and that consignment was actually going to be used for suppressing the people of Zimbabwe for having voted for the MDC.
And up to this point, why hasn't SADC stepped in?
SADC, to be honest, most of these guys are dictators in their own as well, and I would see that SADC, as I have said before, that SADC is a grooming ground for dictators, and they wouldn't want to see one of their men, one of their comrades in arms, being brought to the courts of justice for crimes that he has committed against the people of Zimbabwe.
And if no one steps in, if nothing is done to stop the ZANU-PF, what do you predict will happen?
Well, I foresee an uprising from the people of Zimbabwe, and only time will tell. I think Mr. Morgan Tsvangirai and his MDC might be forced to form a government in exile. That is when, if the West has come to the West. So we surely didn't want to see such a scenario, because we're talking about an election which has been robbed off from the people of Zimbabwe. The will of the people are being suppressed by one man, which is Robert Gabriel Mugabe and his cronies. And they're trying their best to cling on to power, suppressing the masses of Zimbabwe, keeping them in the dark. They don't want to announce the elections, even though it's clear that Robert Mugabe and his cronies have lost this election.
And are there any current campaigns against the Zimbabwean government?
Yes, there have been some, and there are still going to be more of these campaigns. It's particularly here in the United Kingdom, where we actually stage some demonstrations at the Zimbabwean embassy every Saturday, and we also march towards the South African embassy as well, where we protest against the quiet diplomacy of the president of South Africa, Mr. Thabo Mbeki, who has misled the nation of South Africa and the international world to say that in Zimbabwe there is no crisis. There is a crisis in Zimbabwe. There's been a crisis since the MDC got formed, and still there's going to be crisis if SADC doesn't step in and the international community doesn't step in.
So now Zimbabwe is effectively waiting and hoping.
Zimbabwe is at the crossroads at the moment here. We're waiting for elections because, like I've mentioned, it is a one-man band show, where the president dictates and tells everyone what he feels. What he wants is what is got to be done. With dissenting voices, Robert Mugabe will not listen. So it's a nation which is at the crossroads, and which needs the international community to step in. I'm particularly happy with the international community. The British Prime Minister, Mr. Gordon Brown, has voiced his concern. The United States of America, through their representatives in Africa, they have voiced their concern. Mr. Mwanawasa has voiced this concern. What is left is for SADC to work as an organization, tell their men to step down because he has lost the election and he has lost the will and the mandate of the people of Zimbabwe. He must step down for the good of the country.
Thank you, Regis. We'll be right back.
jumped in bed.
Nice one. That was Wholesome Fish with a song called Seven and a Half. And up next, we've got an interview with someone called Aaron. And he is part of a project called Nottingham Transition City, which is all about preparing us for if the oil runs out.
Can you just tell me who you are and what it is that you're involved in?
So I'm Aaron Eales, involved with a cooperative that build wind turbines. I've also been involved with Transition Nottingham recently. That's what I'm going to be talking about.
Right, okay. What is Transition Towns then? What's that movement about?
Well, the problems of peak oil and climate change are pretty much undisputed now. The discussions are what's to be done about it, and Transition Towns have come out as a solution to this. And the idea is to relocalise all essential elements that a community needs to sustain itself and thrive. So it's organising a community to deal with these big problems of peak oil and climate change. So we're going to go through the 12 steps to becoming a transition town and what's important. So the first bit is setting up a steering group. This has already happened in Nottingham, and that's just to get things going and start operations. Eventually it's going to disband as other smaller groups will set up, but it's important to get this first steering group going. So the second bit, and the most important maybe, is awareness raising. It's actually telling people that the oil is going to eventually run out and that climate change is a serious problem, that we need to do something about it as soon as possible. In Nottingham, there's already a small group of people that know a lot about this, but I think the trick is to tell people who don't know about this and spread the word a lot further. Once the awareness raising is done, which will be an ongoing thing, it's important to lay foundations, and this is sort of setting up systems and networks. There's already a lot of groups, environmental groups in Nottingham, that are doing things in different directions, but it's a chance to network them and sort of unite them to a common goal. So once all the groundwork's done, it's important to get a great unleashing. Now this is sort of a memorable milestone, which is an event that sort of sets the town off on its goals. And from this, subgroups will be formed. Now it's important to get these subgroups, as the idea of transition is too big really to take on the head. So you divide up into groups that will take on stuff like water, education, food, transport, waste. I think Transition Totnes have even got a heart and soul. So within these subgroups, they'll concentrate on a particular area of the city, its inputs and outputs, and have a look to see how we can be self-sufficient in it. It's important to use open space as well. This is an idea that everyone says what they want to do. The issues are pretty big, but by letting everyone put their ideas in, some actions can come out of that. It's also important to have some practical manifestations, so it's not just a talking shop. Stuff like planting trees or getting projects happening that people can actually see stuff happening in the city. So another important part is reskilling. Now we've lost a lot of the skills that we used to have due to the culture that we live in. Stuff like repairing stuff that's broken rather than just buying new things. Cycle maintenance, food growing, all these things that we once knew but we've sort of forgotten about. So the next one's building a bridge to local government. Now some people might dispute this because the local government's not so helpful often, but it can be very helpful in issues such as planning, funding or making connections, so it's good to join with the local government. And number 10 is honouring the elders. Now this is quite an important one. They remember living in a low energy society, so speaking to them about how they used to live is going to be useful in making a plan for the future. a big point is just to let it go where it wants to go. There's going to be lots of people wanting it to go in all different directions, and the issues are so big, there's not one answer. So it's just letting wherever it wants to go, let it happen. The main task, the final thing that wants to come out of Transition Towns, is to create an energy descent plan. So this is a plan so that all the systems of the city can be reduced to self-sufficiency, and this is when all the subgroups come together and all their plans work out, so that we've got a plan for what happens in the future. A future where we're not reliant on the oil that's eventually going to run out, and a future hopefully where we're not damaging the planet that we've done so badly already. But we're going to be having more of these talks about different aspects of society that we're going to need to change or influence. The main event that's coming up in May is a talk by Rob Hopkins, who's the guy that started it all up. He's coming to Nottingham on the 27th of May. He's going to give a talk about the From Oil Dependency to Local Resilience. So that's on the 27th of May at the Nottingham Mechanics Institute on North Sherwood Street. The Green Weeks are happening on the 18th to 25th of May, and there's going to be lots of events happening all around the city to do with environmental issues, so it's definitely worth checking out what's happening there and hopefully getting involved.
Yeah, and how can people find out about what's going on with the Green Weeks? Is there a website that they can look at?
The websites for Transition Town in general are www.transitionnottingham.org.uk. For more information about the national movement of Transition Towns, it's www.transitionculture.org. And there's links from both of those sites to various events that's going around in the city.
Right, and the talk on the 27th of May, do people just turn up on the day, or do they need to book in advance?
It's worth sending an email to let the people know that you're coming, and there's an email on the Transition Nottingham website.
Okay, so they would go to the Transition Nottingham website for that as
well.
Anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. It's big issues that we're only just really getting our head around, and the more people that get involved, and rather than just talking about things, just actually get on and do them, is the better. I think it's going to be a time of action rather than words.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
Cheers.
If you want to find out more about Nottingham Transition City, you can also go to our website, which is riseupradio.wordpress.com, where there will be a link to it on the links page. Likewise, for any groups, organisations or artists that we feature on our shows, you can also find them on the links page.
Right, I'm joined now by a man called Joss. Joss lives in Nottingham. He's a performer. He writes poetry, sings songs, and he's recently published a book. And he's joining us today to play us a couple of songs and have a chat and tell us about his book. How you doing, Joss?
I'm very well. How you doing?
I'm pretty good, thanks, yeah.
Cool.
You've travelled over from Derby this morning.
I have, yeah. It's a late night. Yes.
Yeah, some issues with a motorbike. Kind of. So you were performing there last night. You do quite a bit of performance on the local poetry circuit.
Mm.
You've published this book, which you've got here. It's entitled Leading a Horse to Water. Do you want to just tell us a bit about the book, why you wrote it, what's in it?
Yeah, it's a collection of poetry. It's based on politics, philosophy and theology.
Okay, well, do you fancy giving us a taste of what's in the book?
I can do that. Darling, so let's and take my hand. Come now, baby, come back home with me. Come on, my angel, just come home with me.
Right, that was Some People. Is that one of your own, Joss?
Yes. It's in the book.
How could people get hold of a copy of this book if they wanted to?
The best place is the Alley Cafe, which is opposite the Central Library in Nottingham. Well, I've been all over this great big world, and I sailed across the seven seas. Places and faces and face those dangers, seeing things that you'll never see. And tell me that Jesus once walked the wasteland, that he lived here in ancient times.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
And now we've got a bit more poetry from the DIY poets that were featured in our show 2 months ago. They also brought out a little booklet just recently, which featured a nice free advert for the Rise Up Radio as well. So here's a couple more of their poems.
This poem is called Work-Life Balance, and it's just about the fact that Britain's got the longest working hours in Europe and they're getting longer. Work-life balance. My life is only advert length compared to the film of work. Time to make a cup of tea, but not to drink it. Work is a cramped couch with life a quick piss or stretch of the legs.
Right, this next one is a sort of state of the nation paranoia meets the kind of mediocrity of our everyday, and it's called What Lies Lurking Under the Bed. State of a nation killed by politicians, too desperate to prove they are more right on than right wing. Then there's Richard and Judy, the king and queen of the mediocrity daily routine, not forgetting the strictly come celeb wannabes, endless weekends of shite to believe in, with a zigga zigga ah all over again. And the phone is your money, impossible to answer quiz, all through this and every night, guaranteed, fixed. House prices falling as fast as the rain, gas prices rising just for a change. It's the increase in the price of fuel, you know, but then with record profits, they must think we're slow. January 08 and Rule Britannia's on the skids, and the kids are on dope. Familiar terrain, this slippery slope. It's all aboard the magic bus to better red or dead than what lies lurking under the bed.
This final poem is about the fact that not all Americans are ignorant, right-wing and pro-war. This one is called 02-15-03, 500,000 demonstrate against war in New York. Although they call autumn fall and pavement sidewalks, we both march down the streets, doing more than just talk, to save this big burning ball we all share.
Every nation, in every region, now has a decision to make. Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
Trapped in the prison of poverty. It is time to set them free.
What the world needs now is justice. Trust is a must because of this situation where much of the planet's population is lacking essentials. Clean water, food, shelter, healthcare and education. It's a situation most would rather do without. No doubt, we are coming to realise what brings the so-called war against terror about. So take away excuses for warfare. Demand that we share the planet's resources till there are no longer rich and poor communities. There's enough to go around and around if we share, so make sure every people have clear access to life's basic necessities. Life's golden opportunities.
Like slavery and apartheid, poverty is not natural. It is man-made, and it can be overcome and eradicated by the actions of human beings.
What the world really needs now is organized sharing. In a world without worldwide justice, there can be no world peace. In a world without a sharing of the planet's resources, there can be no world justice. So what we have to do is increase the pressure on the policymakers, increase the peace march and make them take us seriously enough to completely reprioritize global priority.
While poverty persists, there is no true freedom.
Yes, 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 yes. Increase the peace, 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 peace. We'll be right back.
the days we must make this change and rearrange our lifestyles while we still have a chance to choose to revive this beautiful planet we're on. Yes, yes, yes. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, and not just for some, but for everyone.
They are trapped in the prison of poverty. It is time to set them free.
Yes, yes, yes. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, and not just for some, but for everyone. Yes, yes. What the world needs now is love, sweet love, and not just for some, but for everyone.
It is time.
Not just for some.
To set them free.
But for everyone. Yes, 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 yes.
It is time.
Not just for some, but for everyone.
It is time. To set them free.
Not just for some, but for everyone.
It is time.
That was a track by Popax. The track was called What the World Needs Now. Well, Jack, I've been hearing a little bit about this new newspaper that's coming out in Nottingham called The Mule.
Ah, yes, The Mule.
What is The Mule?
Well, The Mule is a national free newspaper that began in Manchester, I think, a couple of years ago. And they produce... it's a quarterly edition, so... it's not as regular as some of the other free newspapers around, but it sort of serves to be an alternative to those other rather disposable daily free newspapers. It's about getting information on issues out into the public domain. So it's about sort of getting the info to a wider audience rather than just maybe some of the other newspapers with small print runs that might only get into social centres and certain places. So it's run by volunteers. Some of the content is similar to the kind of thing you find on Indie Media, but in Nottingham we're going to try and get this off the ground, and some of the Indie Media collective have put stuff together to get a paper out this May.
Because I understand Nottingham will actually produce a local version, a local edition of this paper.
Yeah, that's right. You've got the national content. Each city that distributes The Mule will contribute to its own regional section of the newspaper, so the middle bit.
Can you tell me anything about what we can expect in terms of content and when the thing might come out?
Yeah, the Nottingham Mule will be out at the beginning of May, and we'll just try and get it out to as many outlets as possible around the city. You can expect to find articles about destitution in Nottingham. You catch up on the pictures and stuff that happened on April the 1st. I think we've got a special on the Sea Shepherds. That's about local people involved in the Sea Shepherds. Other stuff too. Stuff about alternative media projects in Nottingham, of which there are quite a few.
Nice one, okay. So what have we got next up on the show?
Next we've got a bit of footage from a conference that took place in April at Nottingham University. The students there organised the first Civil Liberties Conference and invited speakers to come and do talks and workshops and things at the university about the erosion of our civil liberties, about giving us information to defend ourselves better when we're confronted with police and in repressive situations, for asserting our rights, the right to protest, and talking about the terror legislation as well. There's more terrorism legislation on the way, and some people came up from London to talk about that and what they're trying to do to get that repealed. Yeah, I caught up with Tom from the Students' Peace Movement to talk about how they organised the conference, and then we'll put up some more information about the conference on our website. Right, I'm here with Tom now, who is from the Nottingham Students' Peace Movement, is that right?
That's right, yep. NSPM for short. So.
And you've been part of a collective organising today's Civil Liberties Conference.
Yeah, that's right. Our society has kind of arranged this conference, and organised it and called it today. So yeah,
is this the first one of its kind?
Well, NSPM has a peace conference every year. It's kind of an annual event, and this is kind of like in lieu of the peace conference this year. We decided this was quite a pressing issue that a lot of us were quite kind of passionate about, really. So we decided to, yeah, do a civil liberties conference. Yeah, it's been quite interesting, really. It's been a range of ways that we've got speakers on board. Maya Evans, for example, who spoke this morning, I was actually at the Climate Change March in London, and me and another guy, Glenn, kind of just bumped into her on the street and invited her to the conference. So that was quite interesting. But yeah, in terms of other organisations, it's really been a case of looking at who we think is kind of hot and up on this kind of issues and then just inviting them, really. So I think from the society point of view, we're quite pleased with the turnout and the response. I think the first thing when you've got an issue such as the degradation of civil liberties, you have to talk about it and you have to raise awareness and encourage people just to think about it. And that's really the first stage, and I'd say the main aim of today. So to bring people in that are kind of moderately interested, and to mix those people with others who are more experienced and think about these things a lot. And through doing that, you kind of raise awareness. And I think awareness is definitely something that can dissipate through a university and through society as a whole. And of course, there's that next level. So once people are aware of an issue, they decide, well, what do they think is appropriate to do about that? And hopefully today is about empowerment as well, to a degree. So we're hoping to plant those seeds. A really important aspect of today is having groups of people here that are working on this and saying to people, hey, you know, if you're worried about this, then join a campaign, join the cause.
So that was some audio from the Civil Liberties Conference, which took place at Nottingham University. If you want to download some extra audio that we've recorded, you can go to our website, which is riseupradio.wordpress.com. You can download stuff from there. We, you know, always have extra audio on our website, so there's a lot more extra stuff to be found out from there. All right, so it's the end.
It's the end.
It's the end of the show. And any last words?
Well, apart from the fact that I've been Genevieve and thanks for listening, no.
Jack?
Well, it's been deep and meaningful, and I'll see you next month.
Yeah. Well, I just want to say that I think one of us is not going to be around for not very much longer, and it'd be really good if those of you who are interested in getting involved with actually making this radio show happen, you know, step forward and let us know. So if you go to our website, either place a comment and leave your contact details, or there's also an email address on the website you can contact us through. If you have any ideas for the show, you want to do a bit about cookery or gardening or anything, you know, just get in touch with us, and you know, then we can all make it happen together.
Lovely.
Yeah. Lovely. Right, I think the last track we've got here is a track by Trickster. It's called You Don't Want My Love. Gonna pick me up, show me what the world is.
stuck. Maybe I can have some love. You don't want my
like to do one more song for us today before you go?
Song? Yeah. It's not a song I really play very much, but I played it the other day and somebody said they liked it very much. Time and tickets.
dog, you'll never do, you'll never do the things they do. Some may try to harm you, I will protect you.
Rise Up Radio.
Lovely.